Welcome to Shiur Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Emor. Wanted to share tonight what I think is really a beautiful piece from the Aksava Kabbalah, which is not only relevant to Parshas Emor, but since Parshas Emor, as we know, deals with the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, the piece from the Aksava Kabbalah focuses on many aspects of Sfiras HaOmer, on the linguistic aspects that are related to Sfiras HaOmer, just understanding some of the words themselves, as well as some of the hashkafos that are part and parcel of Sfiras HaOmer. So I think it's a real treat, not only this particular piece, not only in terms of the Parshas HaShavua, but in terms of a mitzvah which we're doing nightly at this time of year. Pasuk says, V'heinifes HaOmer l'fnei Hashem l'rtzonchem, that the Kohen should wave the Omer. The Omer, the simple pshat in Omer is that it's a measurement. You should wave this measurement of barley before Hashem. How does he do so? Male umorid umorid molech umevi la'aba ruchos ha'olam. The Ksav HaKabbalah quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, where it describes how the Kohen, when waving the Omer, would pick it up, bring it down, push it forward, bring it back, and he would do so in all four directions. Ve'amru ha'mechabrim, and in explaining the significance behind the Omer, the Mechabrim, the authors, the various Svarim write, Lefisha ein dover meirim leiv b'nei adam umachtiyam keshefa rav tuf. What's the point of the whole Karban HaOmer? Because one of the greatest things that can, one of the strongest things that can pull a person to sin is plenty and abundance. When a person has a lot, you know, there's, when he was blessed with much material goods, many material goods, much material success, so that oftentimes can bring a person to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam, as the Pasuk says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, Yeshurun Klal Yisrael became fat, and it kicked against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Klal Yisrael, when anyone is overly satiated, when we feel that we have too much, so we become complacent spiritually, and we strike out against the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we say, Kochi Va'otzam Yodi Osali Yisachai Lazeh. To quote another pasuk, person who's blessed with much bounty and much material success very often can say, you know, it's my own hand, the strength of my hand that brought me all of this success. Ulaman das ki Hashem ha'aretz umlo'a. In order to for us to realize that Hashem owns the entire world, peros u'peri peros, all of the produce that comes along with it, v'kach ha'adam ba'am ayin, and in the end of the day, it's only God that provides us with anything. Ki akol havel, because after all, everything, all of our striving is vanity if God isn't involved in helping us out. Lochein sivo terem yehenu mitznuvas hasodeh. So therefore comes the mitzvah of the havas haomer, of the karban haomer, and it says that before we benefit from the produce of the field, before we're able to eat from the chadash, from the new grain, which the omer allows us to eat from, terem yitzmo milechem koli v'karmel, before we eat from the delicious new bread, which is going to be made from the new grain, Yoviu Mireshis Hakotzir LaKohen. We have to first bring the initial harvest to the Kohen. LaHoros Bozek Yimemeru Yisparach Hakol, to show that everything comes from Hashem. The Aniferu L'Dal Rucho Saolom L'Malo L'Mata. That's why he says the Karban HaOmer is waved in the four directions, upwards, downwards. LaHoros Kiklolo Saolom Shlo Yisparach, in order to show that everything in the world belongs to Hashem. Hu ha'odon ha'mashpia lanu kol tuv l'malos ha'gronos bar v'asamav sava. It is Hashem who fills up the granaries with sustenance. V'anachnu avodav tzrichim l'shmo ha'tomid b'kola. And we are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our role is to listen and to follow Hashem's word. Hence, the whole idea of the Karban HaOmer is to emphasize the world belongs to God. Any bounty which we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to realize that and be the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And certainly that is the straightforward approach to understanding the Karban HaOmer. So far, what the Ksav HaKabbalah has put down over here, I don't know if it's particularly novel. Again, he doesn't pretend that it's novel. He quotes the Mechabrim, you know, in other words, the Mefarshim in general say that the role of the Karban HaOmer is to reinforce for us the sense that it's Hashem and Hashem alone who runs the world, and that everything that we get is a matana, is a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But here, that Ksav HaKabbalah goes the next step and he starts introducing what I think are properly called chidushim, you know, new ways, novel ways of looking at this mitzvah. Umizeh, based on this hashkafa associated with the mitzvah, yiftach lanu shar bina ladas tam shekra haTorah minchazo b'shem Omer. Based on this explanation, we can open up a gate of understanding, to help us understand why this karbon is called the karbon haOmer. Shehu al shem hamida, kemo shekasuv haOmer asiris haEfa. Again, Omer is a measurement. Right, I was at a shir a few years ago. I was in Eretz Israel around this time of year, and the former mashkiach in Keren B'Yavne, Rabbi Avraham Rivlin, gave a shir where he addressed this very topic. You know, why the karbon is called the karbon haomer, why the sphere is called the sphere haomer. And he said, you know, the way he titled the shir was, imagine if we called this time of year the sphiras hakilo. Right, speaking in Eretz Yisrael, you know, where everything's measured in kilograms, right? You know, the counting of the kilo, right? Certainly we would see that as odd, you know, the counting of the pound, you know, to put it in American terms. And yet that's exactly what Sfiras HaOmer means. It's a measurement. You know, it's not even a word for barley or for karbon. It's the measurement of barley which is brought as the karbon. Shlomo Tzinu Dugmazo B'Shar Menachos. We never find any other mincha, any other flour offering, which is referred to by the measurement associated with the flour offering. Sheniku rak al shem akli. We find that the menachos are referred to by the type of pot or pan in which they are prepared. Keminchas maifet tanur, right? The mincha which is baked in the oven. Marcheshes, the mincha which is fried in a deep pan. Okay, so you know, we talk about the pots and pans when describing the carbon, when the carbon mincha. Aval lehikare al shem amida lo motzanu, but we never find any other carbon that's referred to by the measurement. And why is the measurement important? Okay, the measurement happens to be the amount of barley that we bring. But that's not the main point, right? I mean, we should say that, you know, let's say on Friday night you pick up a cup of wine. And you say, I'm about to make a revius? No, you say, I'm about to make kiddush. It happens to be that you need a revius, right? But the point is, you know, the revius is just a detail on the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah itself. Why don't we call this karbon the flower offering of the first of the produce? Kasher kino b'shem zev im takriv minchas bikurim aviv. We find the Torah in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra does make a reference to a minchas bikurim, a flour offering from the first produce. And Chazal tell us the minchas bikurim that's referenced over there is a reference to the Karban HaOmer. So that's actually a pretty good name. That minchas bikurim is even a better name than minchas HaOmer. If you think about it, it's more descriptive of what the Karban itself is. It's a better name, says Aksava Kabbalah. So what's up with the terminology Karban HaOmer? Omnam, so let me tell you what it's about. Since, as we've already explained, the intent of this mincha and of waving this mincha is the hisbonein bina, is to for us to ponder. Shloi niyaches shefa hatovos hazmanios el halanhaga hativis, that we should ponder and contemplate that our success in life and the bounty that we have in life is not merely a function of, you know, having picked the right stocks or nature working in our favor or anything of that nature. Rakel hahanhaga hal yono yisporach. It's God who provides us with everything in this world. He asher hechino lefanin kol tovus manios liosenu mukhanim lefanov lavodasa, and God provides us with all of this bounty in the world. Why? So that we should serve Him. Hinei al kavanas heishtabdus lemitzvosov kriya minchazo b'shem Omer. That's why, says Aksava Kabbalah, and this is, I think, a chiddush of his own. That's why the carbon is called the carbon haOmer, because the word Omer means subjugation. The word Omer means subjugation. I thought you told me it was a measurement. Okay, but now says Aksava Kabbalah. Let's take a look at two psukim. Shenichlau bo gam kein loshon hishtabdus. The word Omer has the connotation of subjugation, of being meshubud to someone or to something. Where do we find that? Min vehis amer bo umecharo. In Devarim Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, we find the Torah says that if you kidnap someone else, if you kidnap a fellow Jew, for his amer bo umecharo, that you should be put to death for having kidnapped the person. What's for his amer bo umecharo? Umecharo means you sold him. You kidnap somebody, you sold him as a slave. For his amer bo, right, the mefarsha means you subjugate the person. You kidnap the person, subjugate him, you know, you make him subject to your rule, umecharo, and then you sell him. We find that shoresh one other time in Chumash, maybe one other time in Tanakh, right? When the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Kiseitse, same parsha by the way, speaks about the eshes yifas toar, right? The woman who's captured in war, and in a certain sense can be converted to Judaism and can become the wife of the soldier who captured in war. So the pasuk warns the soldier, lo sis amer bo. Tachas Ashir Inisa. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim explained, Lo sis amer ba, you should not treat her as a slave. You should not subjugate her. You take her home, you make her go through this whole process in order to prepare her for becoming your wife, and then you decide at the 11th hour, nah, you know what, I'm going to sell her as a slave. That's a terrible thing to do. Right? You got her hopes all up, and then you're going to sell her as a slave. Lo sis amer ba, tachas Ashir Inisa. Since you have already subjected her to all of these things. So lo sis amer bo, you should not subjugate her and make her into a slave. So two times in Chumash, Ibn Ezra points out in his commentary, the beginning Parshas Kiseitse, that these are the two places in Chumash where this root appears. It doesn't appear anywhere else in Chumash. You know, heim shnayim ve'ein lohem shlishi, says the Ibn Ezra. There's no third example of this root, lehis amer, you know, to treat as a slave. Comes the Aksava Kabbalah, he says, actually, I think there is a third example of it. That's the Karban HaOmer. The Karban HaOmer, from the same root, lehis amer, ayin mem resh, that same shoresh, says the Aksava Kabbalah means to subjugate oneself. This is the Karban of subjugation. Right, so by the mon you have also the measurement, right? And the truth is, he doesn't say it, but the hashkafa, the explanation, works out beautifully by the mon. What's the mon? The mon basically means that we have to subjugate ourselves to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't just go home, you know, stop in the local supermarket, buy dinner, you know, and heat it up in our microwave. We're totally dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. He provides our food day in and day out. And everything that we have comes from Hashem. So, and that's the very last pasuk in the Parashas Hamon. For HaOmer, Asiri So'efahu, there's an Omer's worth of mon that falls for every person every day. Why do we care? Why do we care? I mean, whatever it was, you know. So according to Aksav HaKabbal, it's a beautiful pshat. The Omer of mon is not just the measurement, but it's the indication of subjugation. We subjugate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the institution of the mon. So too over here, he writes, His amir bo mecharo peirusho inyan tashmish avoda, that you're making the person work for you. Sha'anu modim ba omer hatnufa, shahad slochas hazmanios, we show through the institution of the omer and the waving of the omer, that the successes that we have in this world, einom l'tachlis atzmuson, they're not an end in themselves, kim liyoson emtsoim hamaviyim al tachlis o amiti, they're merely a means to bring us to the ultimate goal, that is l'chazekes yodenu liyospnuyim l'avodas Hashem, to strengthen ourselves, that we should be focused and have time to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the underlying message of the Karban HaOmer, the Karban of subjugation. He takes it one step further. Uvochanto v'teidami zeh. Based on this, consider the following. Gam kein ha-mechuvon b'inyan sviras ha-omer. Consider the mitzvah which is an outgrowth from the Karban ha-omer. The mitzvah sviras ha-omer, which we do every night. Asher yiksha al-hadas me'od. You know, you really have to wonder, we're so used to it that we've lost the sense of how strange this is. Chazal instituted that we make a bracha every night, asher kitsharu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu al sfiras ha'omer. What does that mean, sfiras ha'omer? Literally, the counting of the kilo, to go back to Rabbi Rivlin's example, right? The counting of the pound, the counting of the measurement. What kind of language is that? We're not counting pounds, we're counting days. Why don't we say v'tzivonu al sfiras ha'yomim? Right? God commanded us concerning the counting of the days. Al sfiras ha-shavuos, whatever you want to say. V'chein nusach sfiras ha-yomim, the very way we count. V'ashvuos, the days, we count the days, we count the week, shebi odeinu. Shu k'sheya mechuvar al derech ha-pshat, b'loshen ha-yom kach v'kach ba-omer. When we count every night, today is such and such ba-omer. Again, what does that literally mean? Today is such and such a day in the pound. Right? In the kilo, in the measurement. The very language is a strange language. We're so used to it. We've adopted the Omer as a name for a period, but it's really not. It's not a name for a period. It doesn't appear in the Torah, by the way, as a name for the period. The Torah just says you should count 7 weeks, so you should count, 50 days. The term counting the Omer is not a biblical term. It's a rabbinic term, but it's not in the Chumash itself. It's a very difficult language to make sense out of. So what we're trying to say is that we're counting from a day on which, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, they brought a carbon that measured an omer's worth. It's a very roundabout way of expressing ourselves. But based on our explanation, says the Aksava Kabbalah, She'ein tam hanochas shem omer al shir hamido levad. The word omer doesn't simply mean the measurement. It's not just the pound, the kilo. The gam inyan hishtabdus nichlaubo. The word omer also carries the connotation of subjugation, that we subjugate ourselves to the will of Hashem. So once you realize that, Lashonos Elu Miyushavim Gamkein, the language of Sfiras HaOmer, or today is such and such day in the Omer, makes perfect sense. Ki chol hayomim shemipesach v'yad atzeres heim be'emes yemei achonas ha'yishtabdus. What are these days between Pesach and Shavuos all about? They're preparing ourselves for subjugating ourselves to the will of Hashem. When do we subjugate ourselves fully to the will of Hashem? By the Kabbalah Satara and Shavuos. So these are all days leading up to that subjugation. To prepare ourselves for that day of ultimate subjugation, for who Yom Matan Torah, the day on which the Torah was given. It was for that reason, to get the Torah and to subjugate ourselves to Hashem, that we're taken out of Egypt. Moshe Kosov, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Sneh in the very, very beginning of Sefer Shmos, you'll leave Mitzrayim, you'll come back here to Har Sinai, where the Sneh, where the burning bush was, and you'll serve Hashem. Tavdu Neso Elokim. You'll serve Hashem, you'll subjugate yourselves to Hashem on this mountain. Sfiras HaOmer means the counting of subjugation. Today is such and such days in the Omer, means we're so many days in to the period of subjugation, calling the period. The period of the Omer makes sense once we translate the word Omer in that fashion. Vayomim ha'ela nikru yimei ha'omer. That's why we call these days, says Aksava Kabbalah, the days of the Omer. Yirtza lomar, that is to say, yimei ha'ishtabdus, days of subjugation. V'nitztavinu al sfiras yom yom, mi yimei hachonas hishtabduseinu zo, we're told to count day by day during these days, v'hu nikru sfiras ha'omer. That's the terminology that we use. V'ena mechuvan bozeh leida kamus hayomim levad ke'inyan sfiros ha'om kamo v'kamo yomim avru. By the way, once we've redefined the word omer, we should also redefine the word sfira. Right? What does sfira mean? So everybody knows sfira means to count. So of course sfira means to count. The spora means to count. But not just to count, to mark off days, to check off days. In the conventional sense of the term. Aval ikar mechuvano hashkacha v'ha'iyun al ichus echus hayomim. The same way that in English we can talk about counting, but we can also use the term to make something count. In other words, to invest value in that thing. So too, the word svira in Hebrew means not only to mark off time, but it means to contemplate and to think about, to reflect upon something in a serious way. Lispor, you know, it means not only to count, but to think about how to make something count. And where do we see examples of this? So he says, for instance, we have two psukim in Iyov. In Iyov Perek Yudalit Pasuk Tezayin, we're told, Ki atot se'adai tispor. You Hashem, you now count my steps. And further in Iyov also Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Dalid, V'chod se'adai yispor. Hashem counts all of my steps. Now what does it mean when someone says Hashem is counting my steps? I mean, do we have this vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing up there in Shamayim, looking down with a telescope and having some kind of, what do they call a Fitbit, you know, that, you know, that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, you know, checking in with your personal trainer, right, to see how many steps you've done today? Clearly not. She'enim in yonam ladas kamus mitzadei raglov. What Iyov is driving at over there is not, you know, counting, okay, I walked this many steps, I burned this many calories, whatever. Aval in yonam hashkocha v'iyona ekus sa'adai v'han hagosoy. The person there is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts my steps, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mashkiach, he's overseeing my steps in the sense of my life practice. He's looking down at me, and he's evaluating the way that I lead my life. So to count, lispor, you're not just to count in the numerical sense, but we find in Tanakh that it means to evaluate something. So if we really want to put all of this together, so what does Sfira Sa'omer mean? It means hashkocha v'simas ayin. Al eichus hishtabdu seinu elav yisparach. It means contemplating and reflecting upon our subjugation to Hashem. Sfira, contemplating. Ha'omer, our subjugation. The contemplation of our subjugation. That's what Sfira Sa'omer is really translated as, says the Aksava Kabbalah. Lahochin livavenu, to prepare our hearts. Liskadeshu lehistaher yom yom bayomim ho'ele. That our role during these days is to look inwards, to sanctify ourselves, to purify ourselves, and, you know, to try to think every day about how we could become better Ovdei Hashem, better servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this period of time. Uva'amoreinu ayom kach v'kach v'omer. When we say today is so and so many days during the Omer, ha'mechuvan bo haroas simchas toda b'mesha avru aleinu kamus yomim eile. What we want to express is the feeling of happiness and thanksgiving that X number of days have passed by. Asher hishtabadnu bohem tavos u'machshavos lebaveinu v'avodaso yisbarach. And in the X number of days that have already passed, you know, kach v'kach yomim laomer, we've succeeded, hopefully, in being meshabed ourselves, in subjugating ourselves in some more substantive way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to His service. And additionally, we express the hope and the yearning that we have, the askama ala haba, and the hope and the resolve for the future, that we make it to the final day of ultimate subjugation, that is to say, Matan Torah, as the Zohar says, usfartem lochem. Why does the Pasuk say, Usfartem lochem? You should count for yourselves. Usfartem, Machras HaShabbos. What does the word lochem add? Lochem daika. Says the Zohar, it should be a count for you. That is to say, lochem la'atzmechem. Where you're looking inwards. V'loma bedin le'isdaka'a. The role of these days is to purify. L'kabbalah oraisa. And to receive the Torah am Shavuos. That's Usfartem lochem. Don't just count. Right, that would be usfartem. Usfartem lochem, make them count. Look inwards, consider, contemplate, reflect. That's the whole meaning of Usvartim Lochem. And by the way, v'zeh maskim das chachmei ho'emes mitikunei pigmei asviros b'mei ha'omer kol yom v'yom luchi madrigoso. As we say every day, here in Shul we say it every day after the Sviros ha'omer. Right? Ribono shel olam, l'tareinu l'kadshenu b'kdushascha elyona. Right? In other words, by counting the Sviros ha'omer, it fixes up, it rectifies whatever pigam, whatever defect we had in the Sviro of tonight. And Sviros ha'omer is all about l'tareinu l'kadshenu, right? To sanctify us, to purify us. It's sanctify us and to purify us. I thought we were just, you know, tearing pages off a calendar. Right? No, we're not just tearing pages off the calendar. That's not what Sviro means, he says. It's all about, you know, looking inwards and purifying ourselves. And that's not just a Kabbalistic concept that was superimposed over the mitzvah of Sviros ha'omer. If you understand the language, says Aksava Kabbalah, it's in the language of the Torah and Chazal themselves when they describe what we're doing during this period of time. The very word omer, the very word Sviro, the very Usvartim Lochem, the Psukim and Chumash speak to these ideas. They're not just ideas that we first discovered when we opened up the Zohar. The Zohar is bringing out what's implicit in the Psukim themselves. Uvamechilta de Rashbi, bo lechapora al beisei lekadosh shalom, uvama mekadosh shalom b'chushma b'omer. The Zohar writes in Parashas Tetzaveh that God wants to bring a kapara for His house, for the Beis HaMikdash. He wants to sanctify us. And what is the method through which He sanctifies us? B'chushpena de'omer, through the Sviros HaOmer. That sanctifies us, says the Zohar, and explains the Ksav HaKabbalah. Now you begin to understand why, you know, based just on the words themselves of what Sfira means and what the Omer means. Be'ez Hashem will pick up after Ma'ariv. There's a little bit left in this beautiful piece from the Ksav HaKabbalah where he talks about other words as well. Shabbos. Why Shabbos? You know, we know that it's the first day Yontif of Pesach. It's not Shabbos. So that and other things, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see when we pick up after Ma'ariv. Welcome to the second half of the Shir Aksava Kabbalah Parsha Zemor. Just to briefly summarize what we have seen so far, the Ksava Kabbalah writes, quoting many Mefarshim, that the purpose of the mitzvah of bringing the Karban HaOmer is to impress upon us that all the bounty that we have is from Hashem, that ultimately we have to subjugate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he writes that the very word Omer is derived from the word Lehis Amer, which means to subjugate. And when we count the Omer, we're really focusing on subjugating ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why these days are called the days of the Omer, the days of subjugation. And the very word Sfira, you know, counting, doesn't simply mean to count in a numeric sense, but rather to contemplate, to reflect upon. And the idea of Sfira Sa'omer is reflecting upon our subjugation. That's what we're supposed to be doing during these days, and seeing how we can bring our subjugation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more into line with where it's supposed to be. That's the whole yesod, the whole foundation of these days of Sfira Sa'omer. So he adds to this in the following sense. Uvochanto v'teida, if you contemplate, you'll see the following. Ki b'shmiras ha-matzos b'mei ha-pesach mikol minei hefzed se'or v'chometz hu ha-ra'a l'mashi ye'os la'odom atzmo. Let's go back to Pesach for a moment. When we protect the matzos from being infiltrated with leavening and chometz, it's really a parable for the way man himself is supposed to act. Right? The Chazal already tell us, and it's already implicit in Psukim, that chametz is representative of the poor character traits that we're supposed to do away with. Chazal speak of the sa'or shebe'iso me'akev. We want to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the sourdough, which is in the dough, is preventing us from doing so. In other words, the Yitzhahara is referred to as a sourdough, as chametz, as something which is a leavening agent. So chametz is a mashal already used by the psukim and by Chazal for those things which are undesirable within our souls. And matzah, in contrast, is representative of that which is desirable, the way we'd like to be. Asher gam mitam zeh yikaru imei haPesach b'shem Shabbos. And that's why Pesach is referred to as Shabbos. Again, we know in this very parsha, one of the perplexities which has preoccupied the Mefarshim for many, many years is the fact that the Torah says, Usfartem lochem imachas haShabbos. Start counting the Sfira from the day after Shabbos. Now, the Tzukim understood that literally, that Sfira Saomer always started on a Motzei Shabbos on a Sunday, as it actually did this year. But the Torah Shabbat Peh teaches us that Shabbos in this context means the first day of Yontif of Pesach. Okay, we accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. But at the same time, why on earth would the Torah designate the first day of Pesach as Shabbos in a way that's very confusing? So he says the word Shabbos, as it relates to Pesach, refers to Al Shem Hashbosas HaChometz. Shabbos, we know, means to cause something to cease. Lishbos, vayishbos hamon mimacharos. So, tashbisu se'or mibotechem. Right, the Pasuk says, eradicate the chametz from your homes. That starts on Pesach. So, Pesach is called Shabbos. It's the day of eradication, the day on which chametz is done away with. So the first full day in which we eradicate chametz is Pesach itself. In other words, there's a half day on Erev Pesach, but the first full day of cessation is the first day of Pesach, right? And by chametz, we mean not only the physical chametz, but as we've explained, the ruchniyistik chametz, the spiritual chametz. L'chein omra Torah mimachres ha-Shabbos yinifenu. So that's why the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Ha'omer follows the day of the Shabbos. Why? Because bo tiyeh ha-hanofa v'aschol ha-sfira sheva ha-shabosos. Ki b'yom rishon shol Pesach shebo chiyuv ha-chilos matzo in tzorech el ha-sfira. The first day of Pesach, you don't need sfira to prepare you for Kabbalah Satorah. The first day of Pesach, you have the mitzvah of eating matzah. And that mitzvah of eating matzah itself brings you on the way to the shibud, to the subjugation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is to say, we don't need to verbally speak about our subjugation to Hashem. Ki maisa achilos hamatzah yochiach kvar al machsheves taroseinu avodasi yisporach. An act of eating matzah is worth the verbal counting of Sfira Saomer. They both speak to the same idea, that we subjugate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do we start Sfira, that we need some verbal way of bringing ourselves close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When the mitzvah of matzah, the chiyuv of eating matzah, has already passed after the first day of Pesach. And now, yes, we eat matzah during the rest of Pesach, but it's only a rishus, it's only a voluntary mitzvah. V'im ken kechado milso chashivu. Right? So, the eating of matzah and the counting of the sphere are one idea. And then he writes a very fascinating idea. So again, so imachras ha-shabbos means once you've already passed the day on which you've exemplified the ridding yourself of chametz. How do you exemplify ridding yourself of chametz? You eat matzah as a chiyuv, right? That day of Shabbos, Shabbos meaning yes matzah, no chametz. So after that, when you no longer have this mitzvah of matzah, so now you have to do some kind of verbal act in order to show your subjugation to Hashem. And then he writes, "Ve'efsher shemita'am zeh lo hitzrichu l'sfira birkas she'achiyanu." The Rishonim asked the Kasha, why don't we say Shechiyonu the first night of Sfira Saomer? Every mitzvah that comes on an annual basis, we make a Shechiyonu. So like Sava Kabbalah wants to suggest as follows. Why don't we make a Shechiyonu on Sfira? Because Kvar Niftar Bebirkas HaMatzah. Because all Sfira really is a continuation of the mitzvah of Matzah on a conceptual level. We're just continuing the bracha, we're continuing the mitzvah of Matzah. And the brachas that we make on the matzah already have set the stage for the mitzvah Sfira Saomer. Now, just to unpack what he says this in half a line, so I want to unpack this a little bit. I mean, L'chorah does not mean that the Shechiyonu, which we make on Matzah, covers the Shechiyonu, which we should have made on Sviras HaOmer, because we don't actually make a Shechiyonu on Achilas Matzah. Unless you want to say that the Shechiyonu, which we make by Kiddush, covers all of the Mitzvahs HaLaila, that you could say. And since we're saying that the Mitzvah Sviras HaOmer is a kind of extension of the Mitzvah of Matzah, you made a Shechiyonu on the mitzvah of Matzah, Leil HaSeder, through the recitation of Shechiyonu by Kiddush. And now that Shechiyonu also pertains to the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer, because Sviras HaOmer is really just, you're taking the mitzvah of Matzah and extending it, you know, all the way to Shavuos. The Yesod of Matzah and the Yesod, the Sviras HaOmer, is really one and the same. Again, a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush. It could be that that's what he means, or it could be that he just simply means that since the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer is already part two of a mitzvah, it doesn't make sense to say Shechiyonu on part two of a mitzvah. Shechiyonu means we're starting the mitzvah afresh. So whatever the hesber was why we didn't say Shechiyonu on Matzah, the night of Leil HaSeder, it's irrelevant. In other words, the mitzvah of Matzah is the kickstart for the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer. So by the time you're up to the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer, it's already, you know, day two of the mitzvah. You know, you're counting day one, but it's really day two of the mitzvah. The mitzvah began with the Achilas Matzah on the night of the Seder. So Mimela, it doesn't make sense to say Shechiyonu anymore, because the mitzvah is already, you know, underway by the time you start counting. Right, true, but in other words, once we're making, we want to consolidate the Shechiyonu. So in other words, you have in mind by the Shechiyonu by Kiddush that it's going to cover all the mitzvahs of the night, you know, much the same way we do that by Purim as well, you know, having in mind that the Shechiyonu should cover all the mitzvahs Hayom. So, again, he says in half a line, it's hard to know exactly what he means, but certainly he's relating the mitzvah of Matzah and the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer as being, in a sense, one long, elongated mitzvah, and somehow that addresses the failure or the lack of a Shechiyonu with regard to the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer. One more point, again, a beautiful linguistic point where he's really taking the mitzvah of Sfira and, you know, giving us a new take on it. Lefi amavur kamo shehunach shem Omer al agudas hashibolim. What does Omer literally mean? It means a measurement, but it also refers to the binding of the sheaves of barley together. Shu isur v'kishur hagashmi. So the binding of the sheaves of barley is a physical binding. Kacha yoresh shem Omer al amasar haruchni. So too, the word Omer has another connotation as well. Just as it refers to the physical binding of the sheaves of barley, it refers to the spiritual binding and repressing of all of the bad inclinations that we would like to unleash on the world. We all have taivas for things that we shouldn't be doing. So the mitzvah Sviras HaOmer, the mitzvah of the Omer, is a binding, a repression of those various urges and desires that we have to keep them under lock and key in ourselves. V'lochein, I'm sorry?
That's why we say
Ona B'Koach. That's what we say Ona B'Koach? Oh, Tatir Tzrura. Right, that's Hashem should undo. Right, should release the prisoner, you know. So the tzur meaning us, Klal Yisrael, not the tzur of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah can stay in prison, right? But we should get out of prison. That's why the Yomtiv at the end of Sviras HaOmer is called Shvuos. Why? Because Shvuos also speaks to the idea of repressing our bad urges and inclinations. What does that mean? That's the word atzeres, which Chazal used to describe the Yontav of Shavuos. They call it Shavuos atzeres. What's atzeres? To hold something back, to restrain something. Right? So, Chag HaShavuos is atzeres, the Yontav of restraint. We try to inculcate within ourselves a sense of restraint throughout this period of time. The bundle, the binding that's associated with the physical Omer, that binding should be something that we associate with our spiritual lives. And finally, the Yontav al Atzeres, the Yontav of binding as well. So says the Aksav HaKabbalah, again in summary, all of these words, Shabbos, Omer, Sfira, Atzeres, you know, they're words which we use in Tanakh and Chazal and the like. When we penetrate into the essence of what these words are about, we can understand the essence of what Sfira Omer is supposed to bring out within us as well. I have to figure out in terms of next week, just how to plan the shir. Again, Bez Hashem, going to tomorrow to Eretz Yisrael for a week. Then I come back, and Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of simchas going on the various nights of next week. So we'll figure it out. We'll keep everyone posted. Worst comes to worst, we can always record this year, and we'll be up online. Should wish everybody atzlacha. We should continue as we count the Yemei HaOmer, being Ola Milo Milo, going up, you know, rung after rung in the rungs of Torah and Yirei Shamayim. Okay, Rabbi Chanan.